Okay, hello everybody, and okay, so I have no relationships to disclose, although I am single, but so that's why I don't have a relationship to disclose. So, I wanted to welcome everybody to Georgia, or like how we like to say in Atlanta, is welcome to the A, and we even have our little sign here. And basically, as you can see, a lot of our statistics mirror some of the national data that you heard a little earlier, but Georgia does rank 8th in the highest AIDS rates in the U.S., and majority are among African Americans. We have about a 30% African American population in Georgia. You can see 78% of those are HIV positive. And among women as well, 84% of women who are HIV positive are African American women. And also, it is the leading cause of death among women 20 to 44. And as you heard earlier as well, most women are becoming infected from heterosexual sex. And as you can see, the light blue, those are where the majority of cases are, and that's the Atlanta metropolitan area. And the dark blue, that's actually more rural areas. And Georgia's actually mostly a rural area, but a lot of people don't actually realize that because we don't really hear about that. And so what we're doing is that we're really seeing this trend of more increased HIV infection and prevalence in rural areas in Georgia. And in fact, since 2004, 29% of men and 43% of women diagnosed with AIDS were from rural areas in Georgia. And so what I focus on is this little area called the South Central Health District in Georgia. And it's about, you see, it's towards the middle of Georgia, towards the end, and it's actually probably about a couple of hours away from Savannah. And so what was interesting about this location is that there's this little rural district, but they actually have some of the highest HIV prevalence and incidence rates in the state. They mirrored our larger metropolitan areas, or DeKalb County and Fulton County, and they had some of the highest new HIV rates that were higher than these more metropolitan areas. But there hasn't really been any research there, and there hasn't really been a lot going on there in terms of HIV preventions. They don't really have a lot of programs there. So I was wondering what was really going on over there. And in this place, because it is a rural town, they have a lot of the similar characteristics you hear among rural places, such as lack of access, lack of mobility and transportation and education. And this trend is also similar to other deep southern states. A large portion of the epidemic, especially among African Americans, are actually portions in these areas. The darker red are some of the main deep southern states, and then the stripes are some of the other states. Sometimes Texas likes to call themselves the South, but they're not really the South, they're Southwest. Okay, so, but some of the things that are similar in these states that might facilitate the spread of HIV is that, one, they're these deep South states, they have a history of Jim Crow, segregation, and slavery, where cotton was their economic base. They actually make up 70% or more of new AIDS cases among African Americans, and among women, and they actually coincidentally have some of the highest teen pregnancy rates and some of the highest STI rates. And these states right here are actually all in the top 15 states with the highest AIDS death rates. So there's a lot going on in the rural deep South. Okay, so basically the purpose of this study was to really fill a gap in the literature that was focusing on this rural South Central area in Georgia, understand more the experience of African American women living with HIV, and to gain more insight of people living with HIV in rural areas in order to help improve services. So basically, since this study, we didn't know anything that was going on in rural South Central Georgia, I went in with a method of grounded theory, and that's where it's very open-ended. You just kind of go in and ask open-ended questions, and whatever you gather from your data, that's how you kind of, you go through and you look at your data, and you're really into your data until you construct sort of a theory of just what you think is happening. So I just had two open-ended research questions. One was, how did women living with HIV in rural South Central Georgia find out they were infected, and then what was life like for them after finding out they were infected? So the study included 17 African-American women. They all received services at a Ryan White clinic there, and they were sampled from three different populations. And all of the women except for one had children, and two of them were currently pregnant. And so there was basically a split between those who had high school and some who had some college. And three were married. Most of them were single with partners as well. And so as you can see, and the average ages were about 20 to 45. That's what I wanted to do the sample for, because that was the leading cause of death in Georgia. Most of the women were infected either by a boyfriend or their husband, fiance, One was infected from a female friend. Another one, Lisa, was interested because she couldn't, she said she was infected by a family member. So I asked her more about that. And she said, well, there was a fight and there was blood. I was like, well, were you bleeding? Did you have open wounds? But she just wasn't sure about that. Okay, so within that, there's a lot of themes that came up, of course, from that open-ended study, but something that was really prevalent and crucial among the women was their relationship with their children and letting their children know that they were infected with HIV. And because this was such a small rural town, a lot of the women anyway did not disclose to other people, and therefore a lot of them did not disclose to their children as well. And I found this theme that it kept coming up. They'd rather tell their children they had other health problems or other health conditions than that they were HIV positive, because they were worried about what pain might be caused with their children or how they might have been doing in school or things around that. So what I'm going to share with you is just some of the things and some of the insight that some of the women had to say about why they chose not to disclose to their kids or some of their thoughts around that. So our first one is Keisha. And Keisha says, I don't want to put nobody through no pain like that, like having them wondering how long she's going to live. That's why I tell my son. My son think I got cancer because I was in and out from the doctor. And he was like, Mom, what's wrong with you? And you know, a child gonna keep wanting to know what you got and what you keep going and why you taking all those pills. So I told my child, you know, I got this mass in my head. And he was like, well, what's wrong with you? And I was like, baby, I got cancer. You know, that's what my grandmother died with. And he saw how long she lived. So he was like, yeah, okay, my mama can live a long time. So my baby said, just keep taking those pills, mama, and make you feel better. And I said, yeah. I said, but what if I stop taking those pills? Something gonna happen to me. And he said, no, as long as you keep taking those pills, you're gonna be all right. But if I just dropped down and told him that I had HIV, he'd do bad in school, he'd stop making honor roll, and then he'd try to do something that somebody else doing out there. I can't just drop down and tell him that and just bring his whole world down. So similar, Simone decided to tell her daughter that she had uterine cancer instead because she thought she'd worry more if she had HIV. So she says, my baby girl, she pretend like she tough or whatever, but if I get sick, she'd be like, oh, Mom, I gotta stay home from school because you sick. And I tell her, just go to school, baby, I'm gonna be all right. And like this last time that I had surgery because they found some cancer in the uterus, she was like, fine, I'm not going to school, I'm gonna take care of you. I was like, you going to school, you just worry too much. I don't want to tell her that I got HIV. I just tell her that I'm dealing with this cancer. I just say, girl, go ahead and just finish school. And then similar, Lisa says, I don't want them to know about that. Not my children. I just never told them. I think it would just hurt them. And I don't want them to hurt themselves. I want to protect them. So they just think I get sick with diabetes. It's easier for them to handle diabetes because they see people living a long time with that. Tina, she just told that her children that she was just suffering from injuries from a car accident that she was in. And she just says, you know, I don't want to hurt my kids, so I'm just going to keep it to myself. My daughter knows I'm on meds, and she know I was sick from that car accident, so I'll just leave it at that. And then Kim, she just really wanted her kids to focus on school, just like a lot of the other women. So just she just says, you know, I ain't tell them. I ain't tell them at all, and I don't know if I ever will. I don't know because I don't want it to affect them in school because things like that will affect the child in school. I don't want to. They are right now. And right now they're focusing on school and I just don't want to put them through that. And then Diamond also says she just doesn't want to tell her daughter at all. And she says, you know, I probably will have to tell her later on. When I have to, I will. When I'm on my deathbed, I guess. I just don't want to tell her because I don't want her to be hurt. So as you can see, definitely a lot of the women, they were holding more, you know, their status inside and didn't want to disclose to their children because they didn't want to hurt them. They didn't want them to do bad in school. They didn't want to have other people talk about them or ostracize them. And they just, you know, wanted them to live a happy life. So they hid their other illnesses. They masked that, you know, with their HIV status. And some just didn't want their children ever to know, except maybe, you know, until they died. So I think for me, when I really heard that, it just really brought up, just in terms of research, we've definitely done a lot of research looking at HIV-positive people, HIV-positive women, but we haven't really done a lot that really examines the impact on the children or their loved ones and their care, especially women who might be really sick and might not have a longer quality of life, like what happens to their children? And I think this is especially impacted when you look at the rural status and how that might influence HIV disclosure. And I think that's something that was really prevalent and apparent in the study, just in terms of practice, just increasing those support services of children who are living with HIV positive parents. And I think that even crosses even having that rural status, because even in Georgia, just in the whole state, like in more metropolitan areas, we don't have a lot of programs like that. And so there's really that need for those mental health services. And I think that if the women knew more that their children were getting more services to, you know, address the mental health status, they might be able to disclose that to them. All right, that's it. Thank you.